fifth Sunday, special prayer emphasis Sunday again. So you have to put up with me doing a message. If you would, let me open us with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift that you've given us, the ability that we have to come before the very throne of grace to lift up our petitions to you, to offer our praise to you, to give our thanks to you, and to consider who you are. And we thank you that we have this time to spend as a corporate group in prayer every fifth Sunday, and we just rejoice in the work that you're accomplishing among us. And we thank you that you are still on your throne and that you do answer prayer, and we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's been quite a while since I've been up here to do a fifth Sunday special prayer emphasis message. What I'd like to do is to kind of go back and review what we've covered so far, because I've been doing a series and it's a little scattered, so you might not remember what I've been doing, but I've been presenting a series of messages called Prayer Is. And the first message that I did on that subject was titled Prayer Is Appropriate. And at that time, we covered the fact that prayer is right, that prayer is good, that prayer is wholesome, prayer is commanded, it is required, and it is proper. And we learned at that time that prayer should characterize the Christian's walk with God. In that message, we briefly looked at the examples of prayer given us in the Word, the exhortation to pray that's given us in the Word, and the exercise of prayer as it's taught in the Word. Prayer should be the centerpiece of our worship and our walk with God. It should be the core of our daily life. It should have a starring role in our thoughts and activity. And it should have the highest priority for our limited time and energy. There's no time when prayer is not appropriate. It's our lifeline, our means of communion with Him, a resource and need, a means of worship, a way to express our gratitude and thanksgiving, and one way in which we glorify Him. And following that message, I did a message titled Prayer Is a Gift. And prayer is a gift. It's a gift to us from our gracious and merciful Savior. It's a blessing with which we cannot do without. It provides us the means to call upon our Creator. It provides us the means to come to Him whose mercies are new every morning and whose loving kindness is everlasting. When our circumstances are dire or pressing, we have the gift of access to the very throne of grace to bring our petition to Him. He has given magnificent gifts to us through Jesus Christ, His Son, and one of those precious gifts is the promise that He hears and answers prayer. He knows our weakness. He knows our frailty. He knows our needs. He knows that we are but dust. And He has given the gift of prayer that we might beseech Him, that we might praise and honor Him, that we might commune with Him. We learned at that time that prayer is a gift given for our benefit. Prayer is a gift given for our blessing. Prayer is a gift given for our comfort. And prayer is a gift given for our support. In the message prior to this one today, I did a message titled Prayer is Beneficial. And at that time, I discussed a number of the benefits that we enjoy in prayer. This includes the fact that prayer is a means to request resources in time of need. Prayer is a means to access the provision, support, and encouragement of God. Prayer is a means to come before the mercy seat. And prayer is a means to find joy and peace in Him. It's a means of building and strengthening our faith. It's a means of seeking forgiveness. It's a means of finding hope and guidance, and it's a means of obtaining comfort. When we did that, those specifics that I just mentioned were presented in the form of a list of ways that we may be benefited, that we may be benefited as related to prayer. And by the means of prayer, we found at that time that we could be empowered. We learned that from Mark 9, verses 28 to 29. We found that we could be fruitful from 1 Corinthians 14, 13 to 15. We found that we could be faithful from Matthew 26, verses 40 to 41. We found that we could be enlightened from Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. We found that we could be at peace from Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. We found that we could be victorious from Colossians 1, verses 9 to 12. We found that we could be successful from Colossians 4, 2 to 4. We found that we could be content from 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, and be healed from James 5, 16. Now that's a pretty extensive list of B's, but I only made it about halfway through my list the last time. So today, we're going to be looking again at the topic of prayer is beneficial. This will be part two of that message, and I have a whole additional list of B's for us to consider this morning. So the first one is that through prayer, we can be fulfilled. And in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, we read the following. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Now we, of course, can't casually overlook the restriction of verse 14, that this promise is bound up in our prayer reflecting God's will. The requests that we ask of him must be in accordance with his will. But John tells us that as Christians, serving him in all that we do, we can have confidence that whatever we ask according to his will, he hears us. John also tells us that not only does he hear us, but we can be confident that he answers our prayers, that we have the requests that we ask of him. Now, Pastor Bryant recently covered these verses in his study of the book of 1 John, so I won't belabor the point. If you haven't heard that message on this particular set of verses, I recommend checking it out. That message was titled, Do Our Prayers Matter to God? And the answer, of course, is most certainly they do. In Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19, we learn that the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Again, provided that our desires are aligned with God's will, we can know that when we call upon him, he hears, he saves, and he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. Prayer is our pathway to an effectual Christian walk. It is through prayer that we can be fulfilled in our service to God. The next B is be confident. Psalm 3, verses 4 through 6 read, I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain, Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. The psalmist's confidence here was in the Lord. He was crying out with his voice. He was praying ardently, crying out to the Lord. And what is the result? We see that he makes a series of declarations here. He answered me. The Lord sustains me. And because of these truths, he boldly and confidently proclaims, I will not be afraid. Do you need confidence? Do you have situations in your life that cause you to cry out to the Lord? Know then that he answers us. He sustains us. As we go to him in prayer, we can be confident and cast aside our fears as we trust in his provision and his protection. Now we can also be protected. Psalm 17, verses 6 to 8, read, I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me, hear my speech. Wondrously show your loving kindness, O Savior, of those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. David is confident in his prayer here. He states that he has called upon God and knows that God will answer him. He calls upon the Lord to listen and hear his request. And what is that request? Wondrously show. David isn't asking for anything ordinary or commonplace. In response, he's boldly asking God to miraculously and auspiciously show his loving kindness. David calls him the Savior of those who take refuge in him. David is confident of being heard and being answered above and beyond and being saved from those who rise up against him. He asks God to keep him, to defend him, as if he were the pupil of the eye. And we instinctively and vigorously protect our eyes without even having to think about it. And David asks to be protected in this way and to be sheltered in the shadow of God's wings. Additionally, in Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5, David says, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. In Psalm 27, we see that David desires to be in the presence of the Lord, gazing upon his beauty and meditating in his temple. We ourselves have that privilege of being allowed to come boldly before the throne of grace today. And our confidence can be like David's here. We can be confident that he will hide me, he will conceal me, he will lift me up on a rock, he will protect me. Prayer is a means for us to find confidence in God and be protected. Next, through prayer, we can be unashamed. In Psalm 25, we read, Psalm 25, verse 1, a psalm of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. Here, David asks that he might not be ashamed. If we wish to live in such a way that we do not be ashamed, or that we need not be ashamed, we also should be praying just as David does here. None of those who trust in him, none of those who wait for him will be ashamed. Our trust and confidence should be in God alone, not in our abilities, not in our wisdom, not in our talent. It is those who trust and wait for him who will not be ashamed. Notice that David prays that the Lord will teach him his ways. David wanted to know his ways, to be taught his truth and guided in it. David trusts in the compassion and loving kindness of the Lord and asks, as we should also, "Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions." Now, I know for me, and I'm sure for probably you as well, there are many sources of embarrassment and shame that I recall from my younger days. In prayer, we can ask the Lord to keep us from shame and disgrace, to teach us his word so that we may walk faithfully and with joy. We can ask that our sins be forgiven and remembered no more and taken away as far as the east is from the west. Prayer is an avenue through which we may be unashamed. Next, we may be rescued. Psalm 31 reads, starting in verse 2, "Incline your ear to me, rescue me quickly, be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth." Do we ever find ourselves in situations from which we fervently wish to be rescued? I've had a few. This psalm speaks to me when I'm worried about a situation, and especially one that I have no control over. When, like David, all that we can do is cry out, "Lord, rescue me quickly." Once again, we see David's confidence in prayer. "Lord, incline your ear to me. Rescue me. Please do it quickly." Note, too, that David isn't looking for a quick fix. Yes, he does want to be rescued quickly, but not in a makeshift or a haphazard kind of way. He asks the Lord to be a rock of strength and a stronghold to save him. For us as well, the Lord is a rock and a fortress. The Lord is the one who leads and guides for his name's sake. He is the one to whom we should flee and to whom we should be fervently praying when we are in need of rescue. The Lord is the one who can pull us out of the net. Our enemies may secretly lay traps for us, but we have access to the one who knows all, the one to whom nothing is secret. He is our strength. He is the one that can release us from the net, pull us out of the snare, deliver us from danger. And in verse 5 he says, "You have ransomed me." We are safe with him. We may trust him wholly, for he is wholly true. We may certainly pray for rescue from our sovereign Savior. And may I just add, too, that what greater rescue is there than our very salvation? He ransomed us. He has redeemed us. David also says over in Psalm 40 and in verse 2, "He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm." Let us be bold before him and confident in our prayers. In him, we can be rescued. We can also be resolute. Psalm 55, verse 22 reads, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Psalm 55, we're told to cast our burden upon the Lord. And how do we do this? We do it through prayer. David here tells us to be resolute. How to endure? how to stand firm, how to remain faithful. We must hand over our burdens, our anxieties, our cares, and our worries. Well, actually, David, by inspiration, doesn't say hand over, does he? He uses the word cast. It's a much more active imperative. When we think of casting something, we think about throwing it, expelling it. This is to be a vigorous process of transferring our burdens from us to him. And what is our confidence when we do so? What was David's confidence here? He says, the Lord will sustain you. He will provide what is needed to endure. He will give strength needed to stand firm and persevere in whatever trial we're facing. In Isaiah 41:10, he promises that he will strengthen us, that he will uphold us with his righteous right hand. This recalls what we read earlier in Psalm 31. He is a rock of strength, a stronghold to save us. He is our firm foundation, and he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Through prayer, by faith in him, we too may cast our burdens upon him. We may be resolute in our faith and in our walk with him. Now finally, we may be satisfied. And I've saved the best, I think, for last. Psalm 65, verses 2 through 4. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you forgive them. How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. Prayer is a means to finding satisfaction in him. Verse 4 says that we will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. This blessing comes to us from the one who hears prayer. There's much that could be said about finding satisfaction in him, but I'm already out of time. So let's consider, as we go into our prayer time this morning, how satisfying it is to be his child and to remember how blessed we are in him. Our sins and transgressions he forgives. We have been chosen by him. We have been brought near to him. We will dwell in his courts. What more could we ask? His gifts to us are innumerable. His mercies are new every morning, and his loving kindness is everlasting. We have the privilege this morning of exercising this tremendous gift of prayer. And as we do, let us consider that prayer is a means for us to be fulfilled, to be confident, to be protected, to be unashamed, to be rescued, to be resolute, and a means for us to be satisfied in him. Let's go to him in prayer. Gracious Father, I do thank you for the time that we have this morning as a corporate body to come before you in prayer, and I thank you for the rich and glorious gift that you've given us, that we are saved in Christ, we are chosen by you, we are called, we are given the privilege of coming before the very throne of grace. We thank you, Father, that we can trust in you, that we can rest upon you. We thank you that you are a firm foundation, that you are a fortress and a rock, and that you will lift us up, that you will fulfill us, that you give us confidence, that you protect us, that you keep us from being ashamed in the world, that you rescue us, you keep us firm and faithful. And Father, pray that all of us would find our full satisfaction as we consider who it is that we serve. Thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.